In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tugy Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com and 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Officer Radio is your source for the latest news, trends, and issues facing the law enforcement community. Join us each week as Officer Borelli and his guest examine, dissect, and discuss the issues facing our industry. Call in live and join the conversation to get your voice heard. Now, let's get to it. It's Officer Radio, live with Frank Borelli on Officer.com.
Good afternoon, folks, or good morning, wherever you are, depending on the time of day. Good day. Welcome to Officer Radio, brought to you by Officer.com. I'm your host, editor for Officer.com, Frank Borelli. Today, we'll be revisiting the topic of social media, as well as discussing considerations for off-duty officers. Joining us on the show are social media expert and Officer.com feature columnist, Krista Miller, and police officer trainer, Steve Forges. Both of them are return guests, and we appreciate them taking the time to come on the show and share their expertise. Now, let me give you a little bit of a warning at this point. Normally, all the other shows I've done have been scripted in some way, shape, or form. There's been a list that I had written previously or something that I could refer to. Today, we passed our three-month mark, believe it or not. We kicked off our first show September 8th. Today being December 15th, we've gone past 3 months of shows. And I decided to try my hand at doing something a little bit different. So what I just read to you is all the script there is for today's show. And we'll figure out just how good I am at doing this without it all planned out in advance. Now, to some extent, it is. When Krista Miller joins us after the first break, we're going to talk about social media, and she already has her list of topics that, you know, the things that we need to discuss, and they're all applicable to the holiday season. Ways that social media can be used for two-direction communication. In other words, it's not just for dissemination of information; it's also for receipt of information, and. We're going to talk with Steve Ford just after the third break about off-duty considerations, especially this time of year when you're out and about and the crime rate seems to be going up a little bit. There's some things we need to think about as police officers when we're off-duty. Through all of that, we want to encourage you to call in. Our show producer last week referred to our listeners as shy, which I thought was kind of funny because I don't know a shy cop. Our phone number is 866-404-6519. I understand that we had made a mistake in one of our graphics so that the number was shown wrong. Make sure you dial in the right phone number, 866-404-6519. And if you've previously tried to call the wrong number we had posted, please accept my most humble apologies. And, well, here's my happy excuse. I'm not the graphic artist. I didn't make that mistake. The correct number, 866-404-6519. My email address, if you don't want to call, if you'd rather just send me a comment, my email address is frankborelli@officer.com, frankborelli@officer.com. I'll check that throughout the show every few minutes, and we'll try to get any comments or questions you send in answered or replied to on the show. If not, I'll email you after the fact. All of our shows are archived. We create them. We get the recordings and make them podcasts, so you can find them on our website, both as an archived radio show on our radio page in our Media Center section, or as a podcast on our podcast page, which is also in the Media Center section. They are all also available on iTunes. It's been brought to my attention that they're listed by date, not by topic. So if you want to download them on iTunes, and I certainly encourage you to do so, what you need to do is go to our podcast page where you can find the date and the title for that show, which usually has the topics that we've discussed in it. You find the date and the topic, and then when you find the topic that you want, you know the date, you go to iTunes, you download the show that you want, or you can just download all of them. What the heck? They're not that big. They're excellent reference material, and you certainly can make use of them going forward. What else do I need to talk about before we get into the meat of the show? Officer.com has a Facebook page and a Twitter feed and a LinkedIn group, which I have not previously discussed. Certainly, we want you to like us on Facebook. At this point, we have about 16,500 folks who get our updates via Facebook, which is pretty nice. We'd like to see that number be 16.5 million. So please go ahead and like our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/officercom, even if you type in officer.com, it will get you to the right page. On our Twitter feed, please follow us on Twitter. See, there's the lack of script coming through. We do tweet. I still feel weird saying that. We tweet all of our news updates, our editorial updates, and any information that we want to update you with regarding the website or things going on in the world. If for no other reason than the line of duty deaths, the officer down updates, please do follow us on Twitter. Now, on LinkedIn, if you're on LinkedIn, and I have been for a while, you can find me, Frank Borelli, all one word, on LinkedIn. And we have the officer.com community group. Feel free to join it. You shouldn't have to be approved, but if it says you need to be, then I do those approvals every morning. Excuse me. And all of our updates go there as well. As on Facebook. Well, that's not true. Let me correct my statement. Our editorial updates go on the LinkedIn group as well. We have not yet gotten to posting all of our news updates there, although I'm sure we will. Several hundred people part of that group on LinkedIn, so please do feel free to join that group. One last administrative note, I guess, just so you're aware of it. This is the last live show we'll be doing this year. This calendar year. The shows on December 22nd and December 29th will be rebroadcasts of previously recorded shows. The good folks at TogiNet, who produce and broadcast our shows for us, apparently don't like to be called Scrooge this time of year, so they actually give their folks some time off. We don't begrudge them that. I'm glad to see that. So on the 22nd and 29th, there will be rebroadcasts of the show. We'll be back with another live show. Whatever that Thursday is in January, it'll be Thursday, January 5th. We'll be back with our next live show. So, with all that out of the way, let's get into a few news pieces for today. You know, we're getting close to the end of the calendar year, and it seems like here lately we've seen an increase in the number of officers that are being injured or killed in the line of duty. It's really a shame. It's more than a shame. I mean, it's a horrendous thought, especially this time or happening this time of year for officers to be losing their lives and making this sacrifice and having their families equate the holiday season with the loss of a loved one. We just hate to see that, and we want to keep those survivors in our thoughts and our prayers, help them as we can, support them as we can, and we always want to honor the memory of the officers who make that sacrifice. And I wanted to make sure I talked about that for a minute. Now, there's also the humorous side of the holiday season, and you find humor where you can. Enjoy it when it's available. There's an article up. Some Wisconsin thieves were arrested after accidentally calling 911. Now, folks, if this isn't poetic justice, I don't know what is. These two thieves, they were retail theft suspects. They were arrested after one of them pocket dialed 911 from the getaway car, allowing local police to locate them as they were attempting to sell the stolen merchandise. Apparently, this happened in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, for those of you who have never pocket dialed something, I have. I'm quite thankful now I have a BlackBerry, also commonly referred to as a CrackBerry. Never wanted one before, but they can be useful devices, much like smartphones. The problem is with a BlackBerry versus a smartphone, I guess, and I don't know, I don't have a smartphone, never have, is you put it in your pocket, and if you have keys or a coin or a lighter or a knife or anything else that can push a button, usually there's a speed dial feature, and you can dial people up. Now, I know at SHOT Show a couple of years ago, we had a sales lady whose first name started with the letter P as in Paul. And for some reason, every time I put my phone in my pocket, My keys pushed a button, the knife pushed in my pocket, something pushed a button, and this poor lady's phone was ringing every 10 or 15 minutes. I was pocket dialing her constantly. And yeah, for all you sick, perverted, twisted people out there, it really was legitimately a mistake, accidental pocket dialing. And if you knew who I was talking about, you'd understand that 110%, and the thought would never even cross your mind. But apparently these guys pocket dialed 911, and most phones do have a feature where you can speed dial 911. For instance, my BlackBerry, I have it so that the keyboard locks, but when you push the main menu button, you have three choices: unlock it, emergency, or cancel. And if you happen to hit that emergency, it dials 911. So these two idiots, well, let's be honest, criminals aren't the smartest people in the world. These two idiots managed to pocket dial, well, one of them pocket dialed 911 from their getaway car. And, you know, I hate when that happens. They give themselves away. They end up getting arrested in the midst of trying to sell the stolen property. That's always a good thing. What other pieces of news do we have that might be even remotely humorous? And the really sad part is most news we don't. I gotta congratulate a California chief, Jerry Dyer, Fresno, California, had officers that were involved in a shooting after a pursuit. And this chief stood up and said, you know what? My officers did the right thing. They were justified. You don't know what the threat is until you faced it. You don't know how fast it can happen until you face it. And it is what it is. Get over it. They did the right thing. Chief Dyer, thank you very much for standing up for your officers. Every chief in the country needs to be as willing to do the same. You know, we law enforcement professionals do a risky job. We make really serious decisions in very reduced periods of time under high stress levels. And are they always the right decision? No. But we shouldn't be criticizing for them years and years and years after the fact. All right, folks, we're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Miss Krista Miller. We're going to be talking about social media and the holiday season and how we can use social media personally and professionally to increase our communications this time of year. So we'll talk to you after the break. Thank you for being with us.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. In May of 2011, a small brown-eyed boy proudly showed off the law enforcement buttons he had pinned to his shirt in honor of his dad, an officer killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Then the reality set in. This boy was just a few days away from his sixth birthday. He never got the chance to meet his dad, nor did thousands of children whose parents' names are forever etched into the living memorial in Judiciary Square. Join us in 2012 as we launch Officer World Expo in Washington, D.C. in our effort to reduce the intolerably large number of officers who didn't get to go home to their families. OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Renowned and gifted psychic medium Sylvia Rossi explores the mysteries of this life, the afterlife, and the unseen world that surrounds us all in the show called Make Contact with Sylvia Rossi, Wednesdays at 2, 1 p.m. Central here on TogiNet. Sylvia Rossi with her special guests and other fellow psychics invite you to call in and make contact with the world beyond and get answers to your questions. Psychic medium Sylvia Rossi has been sharing her gift professionally for the last 17 years. Sylvia has made it her mission to help individuals and families understand their eternal connection to loved ones that have passed on, bringing relief and comfort to countless souls who have been touched by her gift. She's had the privilege of meeting and working with many psychologists who continue to recommend their clients to her when conventional methods have failed. Now it's your turn to make contact with host and psychic medium Sylvia Rossi, Wednesdays at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com, and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon again, and welcome back. This is Officer Radio on Officer.com. I'm your host, Frank Borelli. I'd like to encourage you once again, at the risk of being called shy, or having been called shy, at the risk of having your voice on the radio, I guess, I'd like to encourage you to call in. The number is 866-404-6519. We have with us Ms. Krista Miller, a social media expert who writes a monthly column about that very topic for Officer.com, and we're going to talk about personal and professional use of social media during the holiday season. How are you this afternoon, Krista?
I'm just fine, Frank. How are you?
Just fine. You're not like far out and fantastic?
Well, it's the holidays, and I'm, you know, I've been working all day, so, you know.
So if you had the day off, you might be far out and fantastic.
But quite possibly, yes.
It's a shame at the holiday season. It seems like the stress even builds up more, and there's always more work to do. I know everybody wants to get everything done before Christmas at Officer.com, and I'm like, guys, there's a whole other work week after Christmas, you know, and then we have a whole other year. They don't think I'm funny when I say that stuff. So listen, we're through, you being the social media guru that you are. Holidays are upon us. We got past Thanksgiving. Christmas is 10 days away, 9 shopping days, folks, 9 shopping days, get it done. Talk to me about social media and the holiday season. Personal, professional, start where you want to start and dive in.
Well, first of all, I prefer to think of it actually as communications rather than social media, because social media is really just a channel. You know, it's not really much different from radio or TV or print media or so on. And, you know,
it's the guy who started Facebook. Don't tell him that, because he'll tell you. But okay, communication. Social media being one piece of it. Continue
exactly.
On. Sorry, I interrupted.
Exactly. No worries. It's, you know, I was making my list, you know, when you emailed me yesterday about coming on the show, and I was making my list for both personal and professional uses. It struck me that there's really almost a handshake between the two, you know, because when you're a police officer and you're putting across some message online, and it, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an official message or an unofficial message, it's going to do two things. It's going to show the people in your life, you know, the personal people, you know, your family and your friends and so on, a different side to the job that you do. And I'll get into that in a second. And then from a professional standpoint, it also shows the public a different side of what you do, a different perspective on what they might not have considered. And I'll get into some examples here. When I was on Facebook just a couple days ago, one of my friends who's a police officer in Virginia posted a photo of himself doing Shop with a Cop with a 5-year-old boy who didn't look too certain about what was going on. But, you know, my friend certainly looked like he was having a good time, you know, in full uniform, shopping cart, looked like Target or someplace like that. And so, you know, it's because of the nature of that, it was posted to his friends and family, but it could just as easily have gone on the department website or on the department Facebook page to show what their officers are doing around holiday time. Similar thing with there was a video that went viral a couple of years ago with the Kenosha, Wisconsin, I think, police department did this really funny 12 Days of Christmas video that people just absolutely loved. And again, it was an official department video, but it showed a different personal side, you know, a silly side to some of the officers that the public may have encountered, and in only a purely professional context.
Well, do you think that it's important that agencies do? I mean, I know a lot of agencies kind of avoid that because they're worried about inviting criticism. Do you think it's important that they do so they show the more human side of law enforcement?
In general, yes, I do. I do think, however, it depends on the community. It depends on what the community is going through. You know, if there have been issues with police, although I will say I saw a news item about Oakland police collaborating with the Bay Area Rapid Transit to escort shoppers to and from mass transit to their vehicles when they're doing Christmas shopping. And, you know, obviously Oakland police and Bay Area police have had a lot of problems, but, you know, they're still out, you know, reaching out to the community in this way and doing this public service that, you know, may help to start establishing some trust. So, I mean, I think that any police department, that's looking at cutting loose and doing something a little different needs to take community issues into account. But in general, it can be a really good way of showing what's, again, the different side of what police work is all about and the officers that are actually doing the job. It personalizes the department, humanizes the department.
Okay. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. It just stopped all of a sudden. I was like, uh-oh, do we lose her or what?
Ran out of things to say.
And it's funny that you mentioned Oakland because I'm thinking, you know, that's one area where there seem to be so many conflicts that exist between the general populace and the police department that if maybe the general populace could see a side of the police department that wasn't strictly enforcement, it might go a long way to helping the public and police relations.
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously there are a lot of very complex issues that are going on out there, the different perceptions that, you know, I don't live there and I've never visited there, so I can't even begin to understand what those complexities are. On the other hand, you know, sometimes it's the simplest of gestures that can cut through a lot of the complexities and at least start toward on the road towards building a better relationship, so...
All right. So we see how police departments potentially could use it to show another side. Is there an equivalent of that in a personal usage kind of way? I mean,
well, I think so. Again, you know, when you know, my friend posted a picture of himself doing the shop with a cop thing. You know, I don't know that. You know, I'm sure that his family and friends have some idea of you know, what he's like on the job, but maybe not. You know, some officers tend to compartmentalize. In fact, quite a few of them do. And I think that you know, especially little kids can get a real kick out of seeing something different. You know, as to what you're doing. I mean, just, you know, even as a personal example, my kids who are 8 and 5, don't know a whole heck of a lot about what I do because all of it is on the computer. And it's hard for me to describe what, you know, public relations and writing and so on are all about. So, you know, like just even little things that I can do to show them to try to illustrate what I do, brings a little more into my world. And I think that can be important. You know, it's showing the inside of a police department. You know, if you're taking pictures as the holiday decorations are going up, inside your department, you know, that can be another side, especially, you know, if your family members have never been in there and they don't know what it looks like and you know, where you go from there. Day-to-day, and so on. You know, the other thing that I want to mention, too, is that it's not just about the levity of it, but the holidays, I think, can be a good time of year to highlight some pet issues. You know, for instance, if suicide prevention is important to an officer, holidays are a good time of year to highlight some of that stuff. You know, or Toys for Tots programs. You know, the officers obviously deal with a lot of poverty in their day-to-day jobs, and you know, kids that that don't have the benefit of something, whether it's money, whether it's parental involvement, or whatever. And so, you know, if they can do a little bit more of the touchy-feely stuff that they don't get to do at other times of year, that I think that can be valuable on a personal, from a personal standpoint.
Okay, but there's some things that we shouldn't hear or we shouldn't see or do with them, right? I mean,
yeah, definitely. And that is going to be governed by department policy. I mean, it basically, I think what it comes down to is if you don't think or if policy explicitly says that. You know, that a certain image that you're thinking of taking, say, if, for instance, here's another example. You know, a police department might want to post about, especially in the northern states, might want to post about traffic safety.
Right.
You know, driving in snow, driving in heavy traffic, and so on. You're not going to post pictures of a crash scene on your Facebook page, either from a department standpoint or from a personal standpoint, because that just violates all kinds of ethical boundaries and legal boundaries.
Right.
You know, even though it illustrates the point of traffic safety, it is probably going to be too graphic for most people, and that's going to actually negate what you're trying to do, which is, you know, to educate and inform and keep it positive. So, you know, for that sort of thing, you know, the officer definitely should be deferring to policy and just to common sense as well, and common decency.
Is there a position in the police department, in your experience? I mean, some agencies are so large, I'm sure they have people that have they do cybercrime investigation, stuff like that, and those might be the appropriate people, or maybe they have a public relations department that might be the appropriate. Should there be a single individual in a police agency that's responsible for maintaining the agency's social communications outlets, their Facebook, their Twitter, their Nixel, whatever there is?
That is a rather thorny question. The nature of social media is it's community oriented. I mean, it's not just your community; it's a lot of different people. Ideally, you have the policies in place, you have the communications plan in place. Everybody knows what the message is. Everybody knows what key messages you're trying to put across. Ideally, everybody can do something on social media in some official capacity or another. I know in Toronto, the police services there are doing this major push right now to get more of their officers online and just integrate social media throughout every fiber of the organization.
Isn't there a danger to that, though, Chris? I mean, can you imagine Los Angeles trying to do that, or New York? I mean,
Toronto is kind of a unique case because they have had two officers involved in social media for such a long time. Tim Burrows and Scott Mills have 3 years or so have both been involved with it. They did some review of their policies. They put policies in place. They've been doing a lot of training. There's been this process of making sure that everybody does what they're supposed to be doing. And I think it's their corporate communications department is still overseeing the entire effort. And they're still putting out the official messages, but at least they have trained the officers and put policies in place that enable them to be a little more open and, buzzword alert, transparent with what they're doing and how they're doing it. And I do think that this is important. You just mentioned cybercrime investigations. Certain crimes more than others are, get more attention online and in the social media world. And, coming back around to, you're asking me about the holidays.
Krista?
Yes?
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We've got 10 seconds. We're coming up to our break. When we come back, talk about the holidays and cybercrime. This is Officer Radio on Officer.com. We'll talk to you again in a few.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these. Homeschooling? Have questions? Get your pen and paper ready. It's the sociable homeschooler, Vivian McNinney. Fridays at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com. After a handsome blue-eyed Texan fell in love with Vivian at the Victoria Station in London, she found herself at DFW Airport with a tiny suitcase and a snazzy little duffel bag. Well, 25 years later, she is now happily married to that blue-eyed cowboy. They have 4 grown children, ages 24 to 18, who became willing guinea pigs when she unwittingly stumbled upon the world of homeschooling. Wildflower Academy flourished for 15 years. They survived and thrived, and you can too. Vivian will be covering a wide range of issues that face homeschoolers. What do you do with kids in the summer? How to set up your one-room schoolhouse? How obedience is paramount? And what to do with those snakes? Plus, she'll be sharing ideas and insights that she gleaned from other homeschoolers. So join us for an engaging hour with the sociable homeschooler, Vivian McNinney, Friday afternoons at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Join thousands of other law enforcement professionals attending Police Week, May 12th through the 17th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. The new Officer World Expo at Police Week will offer training, conference sessions, and networking opportunities to better equip those who protect others. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Officer Radio on Officer.com. I'm Frank Borelli, and we are still with Krista Miller, who I had to interrupt before the break, and I had to apologize to her during the break. She was on a roll. She was talking about cyber crimes and holidays. So, Krista, let's kick off again. I hated to interrupt you. Unfortunately, the breaks are hard-coded and they don't change. So back to where you were, ma'am, the holidays and cyber crimes.
Not to worry. It's the sort of thing where, there's a number of different types of fraud that are – they're especially worrisome this time of year. I think they're there all, at all times of year. I mean, you get the gas pump skimmers and credit card fraud and so on. But this time of year you've also got charity fraud. More people are using more credit cards. There's more of an opportunity for those kinds of thefts and identity theft, obviously, and skimmers. If your restaurant server or your store clerk is has a little device that they shouldn't really have on the job, that they're using it to steal credit card info. So those are all things that police departments can and should be highlighting. Whether or not it's a big problem in their communities, because just because it's not a problem now doesn't mean it's not going to become a problem. And so, social media is a very good way to encourage citizens to stay vigilant. Video can be a powerful way to show that message. If you show what different types of skimmers look like or that sort of thing, take a blog post and talk a little bit about charity fraud and what people should be watching out for, and that sort of thing. So,
In some of our pre-show email exchange, you had talked about police departments teaming with fire departments to do traffic safety videos.
Yep.
And certainly social media can be used to put those out. But we also talked about keeping a message positive. Mm-hmm. Around here, and I live in Maryland, it's one of the favorite things for them to do is they put a wrecked car out on the side of the road that some drunk individual was driving when they wrecked it. And I'm not sure that's exactly a positive mm-hmm. message. But how do they make a positive traffic safety video? Everybody I can think of is going to want to show a wrecked car in the video and say, you don't want to be the guy who tried to survive this crash. How do they do that different?
Again, I think it coming back to the holidays are a good time of year for levity. Traffic safety is not something to joke about. Crashes anyway are not something to joke about. But, if you're working with the fire department, it's an opportunity to, number one, to show some unity between the services that are both going to be responding to a collision.
Often people think we fight and we don't.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. it's not helped by when you watch shows like Rescue Me and there's this big hockey brawl between the FDNY and the NYPD. But anyway.
That might be how it is in New York. I don't know. Leave that alone.
But my family's from New York City, and I had members of my family on both forces. And so, I had to get that out there because I just find it amusing. But anyway, I think having a video or a joint blog post or podcast or whatever, definitely can, as long as it's well scripted. And I think that's where the two agencies should be coming together to work out a plan. I mean, it's not just something that you're going to stand there and toss together at the last minute. If you've got people, communications people that have a great sense of humor, they may be able to figure out how to work in levity and make it a positive message and get the message across without being heavy-handed about it. It's true, whether it's a wrecked car at Christmas or at prom time or Halloween or whatever, it's always going to turn some people off. And, that makes it more difficult for them to be receptive to the message and to do what you're asking them to do to keep everybody safe.
All right. I'm going to shift gears on you. I know because we're going to have, we got about 7 or 8 minutes left. Let's talk about some things that the agency could do. And one of the things you mentioned in your emails was a Chief Santa's nice list, cops that did good. I've never heard of this because I'll be honest with you. I've never thought of my chief of police as Santa. And one of them, in fact, I was sure was Ebenezer Scrooge reincarnated. So what's this idea, this Chief Santa's nice list?
Okay. This actually goes back to the brainstorming process that I was going through. If you recall, in my email mentioned looking at a year in review, taking some time to talk about some of the issues that arose in the community from a law enforcement standpoint, whether it was crime problems or, new initiatives that you started as a department that either worked or didn't work, sort of the things that you're looking at going into the next year. And that sort of morphed into, what else can they highlight? Police officers who have done good things that didn't, whether they got recognized for them or not, and that's another good way to, again, to humanize and personalize the agency. If you're out there and, the chief is choosing to recognize, whether it was a really good effort at a crash scene or somebody that does a really good job on domestic violence investigations of, making sure that all the family members are taken care of and so on. Those are the kinds of things that it doesn't just show the community that the officers are thinking about them and taking care of the details. It can also show the officers that stuff matters to command. And that can help with morale issues.
Absolutely. I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute, stuff matters to command? And then you made your statement about morale issues. It's like, well, morale is supposed to be a command consideration? Some of the agencies, I don't think there are leaders. Mm-hmm. There are managers.
Right.
Who don't understand the importance of maintaining morale as part of their leadership function.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I had to say that really careful.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say that and not be insulting because so many of them just don't.
There are, to be fair to command, there's a lot of other issues going on and, a lot of pressures that they're facing, budget issues and so on. And it can be easy to lose sight of, again, the little things, or things that you perceive as little but are actually huge, at least in the officer's mind. So.
Well, and sometimes it's not just in the officer's mind, it's in the officer's family's mind.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or some member of the community's mind. I mean, you just never know.
Well, an officer who has bad morale is not going to be as engaging with the public. They're going to go get in, they're going to answer their call, and they're going to get the hell out of there, do their report, and go on to the next thing. They're not necessarily going to take the time if the time is not being taken with them. That definitely comes back to leadership, and I think it's something that has to be a conscious effort on the part of command. Even with all the other pressures that are going on, just to when you're doing nice things, I'm sounding so touchy feely here, but really, when you're doing nice things for the people who work for you, it is something that helps relieve some of the pressures, that maybe gives you a different outlook on how to handle some of the challenges that you're facing in your job. So I don't think there's any way that you can go wrong with that sort of thing.
Just for the record, and coming from a street cop perspective, okay, highest rank I've ever attained so far is lieutenant. Now, I worked for a small agency where I was the acting chief for a while, and the challenge with being nice at Christmas is this. Mm-hmm. If you're a complete and utter jerk who targets your people all year and then you do something nice at Christmas, your people look at you and go, dude, we're not that stupid. We're not falling into your trap. You're not going to bait us into doing something. Sorry, we're not buying it. The caveat here is that morale can't be just addressed during the holiday season.
Right.
It has to be addressed full time, year round, and then you can do extra above and beyond.
Right.
During special times of the year.
Right. Christmas, and Christmas is a good time to kick that off. If you decided that this is an important issue in your department, then, it's a start anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's far better than nothing. I'll give you that. Now, I know we have a couple of minutes left, I'm not even sure if we have a couple of minutes left, but what haven't we covered that needs to be covered from the personal perspective? I know one of the notes was about not posting vacation plans. What are the bozo no-nos on social media until we run out of time? And I'll let you know when that is.
That's okay. There's not honestly much to say about that. I mean, there are things, again, it goes back to the cybercrime thing, credit card fraud and whatnot, things that people are not necessarily going to be thinking about when they're posting online. They may post about their vacation plans or they may post images of their high-end gifts. They may be keeping gifts in their cars, especially stuff like GPS, which are hugely popular theft items. And so law enforcement agencies should be using
because we leave them stuck to our windshield.
I've also seen more and more people that are taking them out. You still see the suction cup there, but the unit itself is out of sight. So it's more of a risk for the offender to go into the car and start poking around for it than just simply breaking the window, reaching and grabbing it and leaving.
Right.
So, that's the sort of thing that agencies can be using social media to warn people about. And the other thing that I wanted to mention too, and this goes back to morale, that we didn't really cover, was the story out of, I can't remember where it was, but, there was a town that actually they laid off a bunch of cops and firefighters, and then they decided to do a fun holiday video.
That makes sense.
And on company time as well. So, it was like this huge, layoffs because of tax issues, and then they, taxpayer money for video production. And it was just, it's kind of a mess for them. But, it's another way of being sensitive to what's going on in your community and not just from the officer's standpoint, but, the entire community. If the community is facing very difficult times, then, you're not going to want to do this, happy, joyous video that doesn't take any of that into account. I think it's important, whether you're doing a fraud alert or a traffic safety alert or whatever, to be sensitive to what people are going to be receptive to. So
you got to keep it in perspective. I mean, you have to be aware of the overall situation. All right, cool. Well, and we're going to run out of time eventually. Thank you very much for being with us again. As you well know, this show will be archived on our podcast page once we get it from the good folks at TogiNet. If you ever need to use it as reference or want to share it with other folks, we certainly would appreciate you doing that. We'll be back after the first of the year. I think January 5th is our first live show after the first of the year. And we need to get with you again to talk about the cyber crimes and agency interaction with what's the right way to say this? Techies.
Absolutely.
We simply don't know how to interact and what actually is a crime or what isn't a crime as far as spamming forums or hacking or stealing personal information and stuff like that. We want to do a show on that. So
okay.
We want to have you back after the first of the year, but thank you for being with us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Always fun, Frank.
For you listeners, 866-404-6519 is the number. It'd be great to have anybody call in the last segment of our show. We'll be back with Mr. Steve Forges to talk about off-duty officer considerations. Talk to you in a few seconds. Thank you for being here.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. 152. The number of law enforcement fatalities in 2010. The numbers are too high. Any line of duty death is unacceptable. Join us in Washington, D.C. next year during National Police Week at the first ever Officer World Expo as we combine a unique training opportunity with the largest police memorial in the United States. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com for details and to join the mailing list. Officer World Expo, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Evermore, people have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. These are the words of Dr. Viktor Frankl, the inspiration for the movie Viktor and I. That's VIKTOR and I, movie.com. And TalkSense Radio, The Meaning Connection, with host Mary Simaluka and frequent contributor Alexander Vesely. Friday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. More and more people today are discarding their quest for money, possessions, and things, and are instead beginning a serious quest to find meaning in life. Until now, these discussions were historically in the hands of priests, ministers, and scribes, then to philosophers, psychiatrists, and psychologists. Now, these deep discussions are where they should be, in the hands of individuals, on the air, with you.
Talk Sense Radio, The Meaning Connection, with your host, Mary Simaluka, and frequent contributor, Alexander Vesely. Friday afternoons at 3, 2 Central, on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the last segment of our show today. This is Officer Radio on Officer.com. I'm your host, Frank Borelli. Please feel free to call in 866-404-6519. We're joined by guests. He's Officer Steve Forges. He's a police officer and veteran law enforcement trainer. And we are going to talk about off-duty considerations. How are you doing today, Steve?
Very good. And you?
You know, I'm kind of glad it's the last live show of the year because I get a couple week break. I have the folks at TogiNet to thank for that. And that means I get a little bit of a relief from the workday. So it's a good thing. Let's talk about off-duty stuff. Now, you're a police officer. I've been a police officer. Off-duty, we all know what cops dress like. They've got on 5'11 tactical pants, the Royal Robins. They've got a shirt hanging out to cover up the gun that's stuck either in their pants or they're wearing on their belt. They've got a chain around their neck holding their badge, or the badge is on their belt right next to their gun. And they've got on real comfortable shoes that they can't run out of. In other words, they're laced on, tied on, secure on their feet, something, or their boots. Should our clothing give us away that much, or should we be wearing something different to make us blend in a little more, look, I don't want to say a little bit more like the dirt ball in the street, but like the common citizen on the street?
It seems that officers gear themselves more towards like the 5'11 type pants and that because of the amount of stuff that we end up, you know, carrying off duty, or at least should be carrying off duty. You know, and when you're carrying your firearm and spare magazine and whatever extra stuff, you know, a pair of jeans, yeah, you can stuff a magazine in a pocket and, you know, this and that, but it gets hard to carry everything that some officers want to carry.
Well, what's everything? I mean, you got a handgun, spare magazine. We'll do this. How many times have we had a conversation about everyday carry? I've got a wallet and a badge wallet, two different things. My wallet with my driver's license and my credit cards and all that stuff, and then my badge wallet with my badge and my police ID, or in my case, my retired ID now. I've got a knife in my pocket, in my case, one in either my front pockets. You know me. I'm weird like that. I have my keys. I have my lighter. I have money. But if I'm carrying a gun, I've got a spare magazine. Everybody's got a cell phone. Now, the question I think where a lot of officers differ is, how many different levels of force do you want to carry off duty? Do you carry handcuffs? Do you carry OC spray? I know guys who think you ought to carry your taser off duty. And they carry the X26 or C2, whatever. How do you carry all that? I mean, and I think that's why we do default to the 5'11 tactical type pants, Royal Robin type pants. We need the pockets to carry all this stuff.
Right. Yeah, I'm a lot like you, and I'm carrying, you know, several knives, you know, my firearm, usually at least one spare magazine, sometimes two, but it kind of depends on what I'm wearing or where I'm planning on going. If I have, you know, a small canister of pepper spray, I might carry it. But it's hard to carry all that stuff without it just really showing who you are.
Which is our challenge, because off duty, we don't still want to be cops. Now, I'm not going to say it's all clothing, though. Let me share a story with you. Years back, I mean years back in the late 80s, I guess. Well, no, it couldn't have been that long ago because I was living down where I'm now. So late 90s. I was at a gas station. I had been off for 2 weeks, hadn't shaved for 2 weeks, was doing housework, was painting and all that, had my pickup truck. I was at the gas station. I got on jeans that were ratty, had holes in the knees, old pair of boots, a sweatshirt, and yeah, I had on a gun, but it was at the small of my back, covered up underneath of the sweatshirt. Didn't show, didn't print at all. And I'm in the gas station filling up my truck with gas. And this guy from a utility van comes over and says, can you tell me where such and such is? And my first my first thought was, why are you asking me? You know, what brought you? There's a whole, all these people. You walked by two other people and you came and asked me. I said, dude, why are you asking me? He says, well, because you're a cop. And I went, like, what makes you think I'm a cop? I mean, I'm looking at myself going, I look like a dirtball. And he says, well, if you're not a cop, you've got the busiest eyes of anybody I've ever met. So quite often our demeanor gives us away, and then we make it even worse by wearing what we affectionately call the shoot me first clothing if you're going on a plane, the cop clothes. How do we avoid that? Is there a way to blend in better, if you will?
I would say it's hard to blend in some cases. And we can only go or do so much with the clothing, and we can look like the dirtbag and that, but a lot of times it's even our haircuts. You know, many officers have.
Hey, you make fun of the fact I'm going bald?
No. But okay. Like in my case, I usually always have my hair cutting, you know, the high and tight, and, you know, so people are going to assume that I'm either a cop or I'm military. And either way, if they tangle with someone that they're perceiving as either police or military, they're going to have, you know, a fight on their hands. You know.
Well, and I'm okay with that, but to somebody who comes and uses you as the information police service, can you tell me how to get to such and such? It just struck me as so weird that he would pick me out of all the people in the parking lot as the way I looked, and it was just right. Strictly my behavior, not my dress. But so we do have to cover all this stuff, or we have to – I mean, we're supposed to carry our weapon concealed. We have to find a way of carrying all this stuff. Quite often that leads us to wearing the clothes that give us away. But – and I know I've done this. You go out to the mall. I know you've got a significant other and children. I got a significant other and children. You go out to the mall and you're with your family. How do you – I mean, you don't want to be – what do you do when something goes ugly and you feel the need to take some type of law enforcement action? You've got to deal with your family. You've got to identify yourself properly. What do you do?
That's hard to say, because in most cases you're going to just want to try and be the best witness you can. But when it gets to that level where you're needing to step in and take police action, then, especially when you have your, you know, family with you, it's like you need to safeguard them, getting them behind you, getting them to a place of safety, you know, or at least cover that, so that if there are bullets flying, you know, if it's an active shooter situation, where we're getting them behind cover so they're not harmed, and giving them direction to be calling 911,
right,
advising 911 what is going on, that their father, husband, wife, whoever the officer is there with them, is armed, and is taking action, and giving the dispatcher a description of what that person is wearing, along with the suspects, that if they have that information, so that that officer off duty doesn't end up becoming a victim of friendly fire.
Yeah, and that's a big concern. I know. And a couple of things here. Dave Grossman talks about telling your family and planning and teaching them that, you know, if bullets are flying, that, you know, they need to get away from you as far as they can, because you're going to obviously engage or you're going to have to return fire. For me, and I've made this decision long ago, if I'm off duty, I'm not getting involved unless blood's flowing. I'll be an expert witness to stuff. I'll be the best witness they've ever had, but I'm not going to get involved and endanger my family or myself off duty unless there's an emergency threat to somebody's life or health or well-being. I'm just not going to do it.
Right, same here.
If I feel the need to get involved, then I will tell whatever member of my family's with me or members of my family that are with me, you need to go the opposite direction. Call 911, give them a good description of me, and tell them what's going on. Make sure they understand I'm the good guy. And there are some products now out. I can't think of the manufacturer off the top of my head. It's a sash. It's a reflective sash that you can pull over your shoulder, carries in a little nylon case on your belt. I mean, if you're going to carry a gun and a knife and everything else, what's one more thing? And you can literally just pull this thing open, pull it up over your head, and it's front and rear, 360-degree reflective identification for you as police or sheriff, agent, whatever. But that's my trigger. I'm not getting involved unless a life is in danger. If that is the case, my family knows they need to separate themselves from me as much as possible. Is that, in your experience, a common trigger for the other cops that you know? I know for mine it is.
Yes. You know, we want to just try and be the best witnesses, but once people's lives are actually in jeopardy and, you know, bullets are flying, then that's really one to be, you know, stepping in. You know, if you determine that you can, you know, make a difference in this situation, you know, it's hard, you know, depending on the situation, it can be very difficult to do that. If you got victims between you and the suspects, it's kind of hard to return fire, you know, without, you know, putting those victims, you know, in danger.
We've always got to be cognizant of our fire and exercising proper discipline of it. But I don't know. I've always been of the opinion that if a bad guy's shooting, people are going to be either getting down or running away anyway. So the more that are down, the better off we are, because then we don't have to worry about hitting anybody by accident. And unfortunately, accidents do happen. Listen, we're down underneath our two-minute mark. Biggest consideration for off-duty with your family. Obviously, you don't want to look like the police. They need to know what to do if you're going to act like the police. Neither one of us has talked about cell phone. Got to have communications and be able to get a hold of a 911 center. What do we got to tell them?
What the situation is, and more importantly, where the situation is, so that the police do know where to be responding to, who the officer is, or not necessarily who the officer is, but what the officer is wearing, and what the suspects are wearing, if known, and you know what the severity of everything is.
Okay, so where, what the severity of the situation is, a description of the officer, just like we describe a suspect, by black or white or Hispanic. I'm not going to, you know, we worry about labeling people, but that's what we're going to do. One, two, or three individual, and then head to toe description, just like we do with the suspect. Any weapons that are involved, what the situation is. Steve, we're under the 30-second mark as we close the show. I want to thank you for being with us today. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and your family. Be safe when you're working the street. Want to get you back after the first of the year. For all of our listeners, thank you for being with us today. For all of you who called in, I really appreciate it. That was fantastic. Yes, I'm being a wiseacre. This is Officer Radio on officer.com. Merry Christmas, happy new year. Stay safe on the streets. We'll talk to you in 2012.
Thank you for being a part of Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Each week, Officer Radio.